I'm here talking with Andre Henry, who's the program manager for Christians for Social Action's Racial Justice Institute. Andre, I've been saying a lot about Black joy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a bit about what it is that you want Black folks to understand about what Black joy is?
Yeah, of course. So I think two things. I want Black people to know that joy is possible and that it's actually our birthright to have. Especially since we talk to people who are interested in justice, right? And I think that when we talk about social justice, obviously, you know, we're dealing with a lot of heavy topics. We're dealing with traumatic, you know, information and experiences and things like that. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's possible to really have joy under those circumstances. And then when we get into the work of trying to confront that, I know that I fell into the pitfall of feeling like, well, I have to be serious. And there's a gravitas to this situation that I need to meet, right?
Yes.
With a level of seriousness.
Right.
And then I think also there's a temptation among people who are interested in justice to aspire toward this kind of schema of revolutionary that is kind of joyless.
That's true. Serious, you know? Important topics. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Serious and woke and just no fun.
No, you know? Messing around.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually had an experience like this years ago when I tweeted something funny on Twitter, as I tend to do. I'm never as serious as people think I am on Twitter, especially. And this guy responded and said something to the effect of, you know, like, while you're laughing, people are dying. And so my response was, I just started posting in response to this tweet, a thread of Black freedom fighters having fun, you know, because you can find like pictures of Malcolm X laughing and Dr. King and Coretta Scott King, you know, relaxing in Jamaica and Rosa Parks doing yoga and, you know, Dr. King playing pool and all these kinds of things.
Wait, these are real images.
Yeah, these are, you can go on Google and Google these images. And I try to collect these images because it reminds me of the purpose for which we are fighting, right? Like, and I can talk like this here with Christians for Social Action because Christian is in the name, you know? So I take Genesis 1 very seriously. No, Genesis 2, actually, the Garden of Eden that God creates for Adam and Eve. Eden is a Hebrew word for bliss, for pleasure, right? So God creates this, and it comes I don't want to call it a trope, but that's the best word that I have right now, but a trope in ancient Near Eastern literature where gods actually built gardens for themselves to recline and to relax and to enjoy things, you know? And so oftentimes you see in temples, you know, they build a temple and adjacent to the temple is a garden that they assume the gods would enjoy for themselves. And so in Genesis 1, we have this kind of construction of a cosmic temple, depending on which Old Testament scholars you ask. And in Genesis 2, you have the story of God's garden of bliss, God's garden of delight. But in this story, and I don't know how common this is in the ancient Near East, but in this story, God creates a garden of bliss, which we would expect for a God to do, but opens it up to human beings and says, you can eat from any tree in the garden. You can enjoy this garden. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean by it's our birthright. And so when we are fighting for justice, we are trying to break down the walls that stand in the way of people being able to access the garden in that way, to live in this world and to enjoy it, right? That's why we're doing it. And I think sometimes we forget, like, that's the point of the work. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you know, we don't have to wait until all the walls are broken down to have it, right? And I think this is where Jesus' first miracle comes in. And if we understand Jesus' ministry as kind of restoring what God intended in the first place, Jesus walks into this wedding and they run out of wine. And Mary comes to him and says, you got to do something. And Jesus changes the conversation to talk about time, to say it's not time yet. Well, he's actually invoking a prophetic tradition, like, the Old Testament prophets spoke of the age to come when the wine would never run out. And that was one of the symbols of the age to come.
Is that right? This promise.
Oh, yeah. And even in some of the ancient Jewish teachings, I can't remember which book it was in right now, but there was one rabbi who said that in the age to come, that a man will take a grape and put it in the corner of his house, and that one grape will yield no less than 30 kegs of wine. So there was this prophetic promise, you know, joy, wine symbolizing joy, right? And so when Jesus changes the conversation about time, it's almost like he's pivoting the conversation to say, to start talking about the age to come. And he says it's not time, but then he does the miracle anyway. And so in the present, they experience a taste of the age to come, right? They experience a taste of the future in the present because the wine doesn't run out at the party. And so I use that to say, like, yes, it's our birthright. And sometimes that seems impossible to get to. But I think that that is actually, you know, something that we're promised, you know, through this story, that we can have a bit of that in the present. In social movement theory, we call this a prefigurative action. You know, it's Occupy Wall Street setting up libraries, you know, public libraries in Ducati Park, you know, because they are trying to create in the present some kind of, you know, taste of the world that ought to be. This is also present in the hush harbors of Black history, when enslaved Africans would escape into, you know, the woods for a bit and practice a spirituality that they couldn't on the plantation. You know, there are these tastes of the world that ought to be that we bring into the present. So these are things that I would want for Black people to know, is that we are made for delight. And I think that pursuing that is the best use of this short time of consciousness that we call life, right? And that God stands behind that. God is a sponsor of that, you know? Yeah. And that even if we cannot have the world that ought to be in totality in the present, there is this, what do they call it again? The now and the not yet that we can experience in the present.
Andre Henry, thank you so much for unpacking Black joy for us. Appreciate that.